Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining us today. My motivational quote, I think, is by one of the most brilliant men of our time, Napoleon Hill. And his quote says, "Whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve." Do you ever have a dream that seems so real that you actually wake yourself up and you could be feeling super happy, scared, and just out of your mind at times? Whether it's a nightmare, could be a reunion with a loved one, dreams can reflect our subconscious. Now, what if you could use that intel from your dreams to create more abundance in your career and your business? Do I have your attention? Is this even possible? Well, today my guest is Dr. David Lowe, and we're going to discuss dreams that can help you create more abundance in all areas of your life. Now, David is a former religion professor and counselor who today does dream work, substance abuse counseling, meditation instruction, and speaks on topics in popular spirituality, on topics in spirituality and religion. He's traveled widely and visited with leaders from Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Jewish, Christian, and Orthodox Muslim groups. And after his primary initiative 35 years ago, he began receiving dream guidance, which has influenced many major decisions in his life. He had an epiphany in 2004 that led him to write his first book, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informal textbook for discerning seekers. His greatest passion is dream work, and he loves helping people tune into more profound dimensions of their own spirituality. So David, thank you for coming on the show yet again. I think this is like the third or fourth time you've been on, right?
I would say fifth or sixth at this point. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's always great being with you, Connie. Especially.
Yes, you're just one of my regulars. All right, so I know we have people's attention with the idea of this abundance in business and career. So how true is it that you really can create that think and grow rich mentality, from the book Napoleon Hill? And how do we use our dreams to accomplish it?
Oh, yeah, the major thing is that you have to be interested in them. You can't wait for inspiration. You have to really take the time out to dialogue with your dreams and just get a beam going with God's self, with your inner self. Dreams represent, we all have psychic faculties as human beings. Most of us don't have special gifts like clairvoyance or whatever, but we all dream. And we all have these psychic faculties, which are always scanning higher reality for better, more efficient ways for us to unfold and grow as people. And, you know, the catch is that we have to listen. We have to do our part by being willing to study and fathom what they're saying. But that information is on offer all the time. We just have to be interested. It's there. It's there for us to take advantage of. Absolutely.
So how about for people who don't dream? We all dream, right? We know that. But a lot of people, including myself, although I'm getting better because I've been practicing, but it was really hard for me to remember my dreams. So what, like, do you give your clients recommendations so that it'll help them remember their dreams?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, let me say that dreams are a mystery in that nobody remembers all of them. And some people really don't need to spiritually remember their dreams, but most of us can benefit from remembering them. So taking a real interest in them is number one. Get yourself a dream book. Declare before you go to bed, I will remember my dreams, with a notebook and a pen right next to your bedstead. And look at your beliefs. A lot of us are trained growing up in this country believing in traditional Christianity. Sigmund Freud says, you know, dreams are sinful, they're bad, they represent delusion. This is nonsense. And there are health issues, issues of priority, issues relating to diet. Poorly treated health conditions like diabetes or sleep apnea can have restless leg syndrome, major impact on dream recall. So get all that stuff straightened out and take an interest in them. That's the most important thing. And into your spiritual growth in general. getting out of your comfort zone, getting some feelings, unfamiliar feelings, moving around inside yourself, and you will start dreaming. Absolutely.
You know what I also saw a long time ago, and it could have been you, Dave. I don't remember, or it could have been another guest I had on, but they said, even if you don't remember the specifics of the dream, write down the emotion you felt. So if it was fear, write it down, and what kind of fear? You know, was it terror, or was it fear of like something that was going on in my life? Because there's a little different intensity of that. If I woke up feeling really joyful, just write that down, even though you can't remember the specifics. And they said the more you even do that component, it's I think what you're saying, that you're dialing into that our ability, because we all dream, but you're dialing into showing interest in the dream so that then we later on will actually be able to recall, because we're going through those motions of writing down the emotional connection or whatever it was. So does that make sense? I don't remember if it was you that told me that.
It was probably, yes, absolutely. I think it was me. Even if you only have 5 minutes a day, write down the feeling and write down any major image or idea, just maybe one flash, one thing that you heard said, two or three bullet points about the dream, the feeling being probably the most important thing, if there was any. And that will bring back details later. But if you don't have time to go back and think about it, just writing stuff down on a regular basis and thinking about it for a moment, trying to fathom it, and then expressing your frustration on a piece of paper back to the inner self, we'll get that dialogue going. And it's important to remember, you know, although it can help a lot of folks who approach somebody like me about dreams, especially if they're, you know, recurrent and unpleasant. That's important to find that out maybe with a professional like myself. Part of your personality does fathom your dreams deeper down. So getting that dialogue going on a regular basis, even if it seems totally mysterious, will pay off. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else, right? You have to practice it. It's not just like you turn on the wizardry of dreaming in your head, right? We have to practice, like writing just the emotions, going to bed, taking that pen and paper, putting it on the nightstand, and literally saying to yourself, I'm going to remember my dream. So those little things can add up to us having, you know, full recollection down the road. Now, can dreams really right. help people maybe who are thinking about starting a new business?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something where you have to sort of rehearse it in your head consciously. Well, what I would call a passionate visualization, dreaming out loud during the day. And there should be enthusiasm in what you're feeling, which, you know, love, joy, gratitude, all those feelings ideally should be involved in the new business, which you're planning to start. If that's the case, your dreams will answer and will direct you. It's going to be symbolic. Most it's probably going to be symbolic. You do have to sit down and puzzle over them and get that dialogue going over the course of weeks, just having faith that you're tuning in with your intuition and everything. But your dreams will direct you and will help you, provided that you're really enthusiastic and have thought through what you want to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, so there has to be a foundation of ability around whatever the business is. For instance, I can cook. I don't love to cook. And everybody who knows me is probably laughing right now. And so I would never open a restaurant. That would so not be my passion. So if somebody tells me, oh, you can make a lot of money owning a restaurant, and I go, oh, yeah, I want to make a lot of money, I'm probably going to fail because there's no passion behind it, right? That's kind of like what you're saying. You want to have a desire to do whatever the business is, not just for the money, but because you have an inner passion for it, right?
Right. Also, you know, the nuts and bolts ability has to be there. I had and still have a little bit, a great passion for higher mathematics and physics, but the intellectual aptitude just is not there. And I learned that years and years ago, partially to my regret. It's okay now, but you know, I had to realize that's not my path.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I also think that, and I think you've told me this too in the past, that as you write your dreams down, especially if you're focusing on a new business or even a new career, really, right? Should I change careers midstream? You know, should I go back to school to get certifications, whatever it is? If you start writing things down, even if you don't understand them, because I like that you use the word symbolic, if you write them down over time, the symbolism or the repetition of the symbolism, and then something happening in our waking life, it could connect the two, right? So the writing down, I think, is the critical piece.
There's a big intuition component here, a big synchronistic component. If you get that dialogue going, write them down on, I mean, if you don't have a lot of time, then do it once a week, at the end of the week. You know, look at your dreams Friday afternoon for an hour and a half every week, and you'll get that dialogue going. A deeper part of your personality does understand them, meaning that when you go on trying to understand, having no blasted idea what these things are saying, but you're getting that dialogue going and honestly thinking about it, going to your symbol dictionary, doing the best you can 1 hour a week, then synchronistic things are much more likely to start happening. Again, in the way that you want to go.
Yeah, because we're tuning
in. You will get yourself on a beam of synchronistic events and intuition, which will lead you in the right direction.
You know,
absolutely.
You know what's funny, David? Every time something synchronistic happens, you know, I've said this before on the show, but I giggle to myself and I go, oh, that happened. And then like surprised. And then my next thought is, but why are you surprised? Every time it happened, you're surprised, but you know that these synchronistic events happen as they should, because we're tuning into the different things in our life. It makes me chuckle to myself. Because does it still happen to you? Like when something synchronistic happens where you go, ooh, that was a good one, you know?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. You really have to laugh at things. You have to have a sense of humor about your own mind, all the nonsense it comes up with, you know. But, yeah, you're right. The synchronistic events are real important, and you know you're on the beam. And you can be humorous about it. And sometimes you have to take yourself in hand. That's not meant for me. You just have to laugh at your own mistakes. That's real important.
Absolutely.
Let me say, I am starting to do dream work online with groups of people through Zoom and other video conferencing services. So that's available. Sometimes it helps to work with someone like me and with a bunch of other people at the same time who can help you understand and fathom your dream from a different angle. So five, six heads are a lot better than one when it comes to fathoming a person's dream.
Yeah.
That's available.
Yeah, that's awesome, because when you're in a group session too, here, this I think might be interesting, because if you hear someone else's dreams, again, it's that focus of the mental component of our dream capability, and then the recall after. So joining a group like that would probably be kind of cool too, to hear other people's dreams, which are really fascinating because of the symbolism, but also because it's like a movie, like they're little mini movies. And that could be kind of interesting to, listen to other people's stuff, right?
And yeah, right. And the very, very profound thing here is that symbols resonate between people. So, I mean, the facilitator, me, I may know more about symbolism, and I may have a better aptitude for understanding than most people. But, you know, I mean, when you're in a group with six other people plus a facilitator, the facilitator doesn't know any more than anybody else.
Sure.
It's other people's spontaneous insights about the one person's dream that can really, it's amazing how boom, 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 you get all these different, and things start to resonate with, oh, that's right. That's it. Oh, my goodness. You know, I recognize the situation now. It's exactly what he was saying. So you'll start getting insights from other people spontaneously in a group.
You know,
if it's well facilitated.
Yeah. And I think that that's just a really cool environment, because you have that energy also, but the the quick firing of someone hearing my dream, right, or whatever it was, and then having whatever divine intervention or some type of intuitive connection to say, you know, this is what happened to me in the past. That almost sounds like your dream. And all of a sudden, you know, you turn over that stone and I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that's exactly what's going on in my life right now. So that's kind of like what you're saying, that energy, you have all these experiences coming together.
A definite benevolent energy takes over and causes people to make spontaneous connections. It's almost like you bring the realm of myth down into reality temporarily. Cool. And you begin to connect on a much deeper level in a spontaneous way when you talk about dreams.
So cool. Yeah. The whole concept is just so, so darn cool. I just love it. Let's take a really quick break. And then when we come back, I'd like to give you some like specific examples that people might be facing in their work life that how a dream might, or their, you know, dream work can actually help them come to solutions and stuff like that. Okay. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back. We're speaking with Dr. David Lowe, and we're talking about dreams and dream work. And you had a question for me, David. Go ahead.
No, I didn't. I was a little stumbling over myself here. Go ahead,
Connie.
You're so funny. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. So let's talk about some internal and external issues that people listening may be dealing with at work, right? So for example, let's say customers at my company aren't always really satisfied. I'm in customer service. And let's say in some cases, they feel, the customer themselves feel that they're treated really poorly. How can dreams help someone navigate kind of calming that type of situation?
You know, the major thing to appreciate here is that, you know, the dream source, God, truth, light, source, whatever you want to call it, it has everybody's best interests in mind. So, I mean, if this is a real source of worry for the manager and you are remembering a lot of dreams, then believe me, that is already what the dreams are talking about. You can rest assured of that. I think you need to have tried all of the external common sense things first. Having done that, your dreams will definitely realize, hey, this guy's been trying hard to solve the problem. Let's tell him what it is. So, I mean, you know, you have to listen and tune into, if you're really concerned about the issue and you tried a lot of things already, then you can, that's what they're saying. They're already talking to you about it. And I'll mention that any kind of problem or issue that you're having, which is a persistent difficulty that you've come to loggerheads about in the past, just talking about your dreams in kind of a relaxing workshop kind of atmosphere can automatically open up a deeper level of communication. Okay, so just by discussing your dreams, two employees in the same company, two, three people sitting down intentionally to just talk about their dreams. And the dreams may be totally irrelevant, but in the process of talking about them, a deeper level of communication automatically starts opening up overall, kind of a creative source that anything can blossom out of. And you'll start getting insights about the situation that and how to fix it.
I would think that there would have to be a tremendous amount of trust, I would think, for people in a company together to sit and share, because that's kind of like inner stuff that.
The whole thing is a lot of dreams seem like just nonsense on the surface. They're just everyday stuff or really nonsensical things. A lot of the time people dream about things which don't, you know, the symbolism, the actual content of the dream itself does not refer to anything personal or difficult. Okay. And just by sitting down and talking about these crazy things, I mean, one guy has a dream about, you know, manager number one has a dream about his brother-in-law standing on his head at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, right? Another guy, you know, the administrator has a dream about taking his son to Disneyland on the planet Mars or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if those two folks, say there's a problem with like two employees who like don't get along at all, right? They're both important. They don't get along. Something's got to be done about it. And so the manager and the vice president get together to talk about this situation, and they intentionally share each other's dreams in order to relax, in order to just kind of get into a more creative space. And in doing that, they will start to communicate at a deeper level, and spontaneous creative things will come out of that process, even though the dreams have nothing to do with the situation. But yeah, it is inner stuff, deep personal stuff, but on the surface, quite often, it presents symbolically as something totally nonsensical and irrelevant. Okay. But in the process of sharing it, that deep personal space opens up, and a creative solution can sometimes arise out of it.
You know, that's
yeah,
really,
so you can.
It's so simple, David, because in a corporate environment, I think we're oftentimes wound very tight, right? Because of deadlines and different goals, quotas, whatever it might be that we're held accountable to. So by taking a minute to, and I'm going to use the word silly, even though it's not silly, but to talk about dreams in a very relaxed atmosphere allows a creativity. I just think it's a cool tool for leaders, again, to create that safe environment, but to be able to enable better creativity for everybody in the room. I don't think we're creative enough at work. I think we're so regimented in our behaviors and tasks and, you know, it's go, go, go and check my emails and all of this stuff, which is all necessary. But I don't think we allow ourselves to look at different possibilities. So using this inner resource is just kind of cool to me.
Go ahead. As one thing to bear in mind also is they have everybody's best interest in mind, dreams do, which means that they are going to advocate slowing down, de-stressing, and paradoxically getting more done as a result. Okay. And if the business is like of a high pressure kind of boilerplate sales situation in which the whole thing is a little bit off in terms of their ethics and good intentions, then it's going to help take the whole thing apart and break down to something better. But for the most part, sincere businesses who want to do well, who do want to create win-win situations with their customers and for them, dreams will help relax everybody. The obstacle is getting over this idea that dreams are nonsense. But being able to bring the whole thing in kind of a workshop capacity, intentionally sitting down with the knowledge ahead of time that dreams can help because they create this spiritual, relaxed atmosphere. You know, and just to talk about dreams and things will spontaneously start happening that help and create new situations.
You know, with
indirectly.
Yeah. And David, logically, right? If we can just calm ourselves down and slow ourselves down, I think it allows us to think more clearly as a whole, let alone decipher, you know, these symbolic dreams and how it could be impacting or sending us messages for work, career, you know, personal connections, et cetera. So if someone is having, now here's a situation, right? Based on what you're saying, right. I'm a manager and I have a personal situation as the leader that I don't want to say or do something wrong that's possibly going to blow up in my face. And we see it all the time, right? Matt Lauer with you know, all the nonsense that went on. Roseanne Barr a few weeks ago, just talking out of turn.
Right.
So we are all faced with this kind of, weird, disrespectful behavior. So I really have to be cautious how I navigate that. How can dreams perhaps help me find the right way to present things so that I don't hurt anyone's feelings and yet move us forward in whatever we need to do. Do you understand that? Did that make sense?
Oh, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten inner directives to, you know, stay away from this person, go out of your way to talk to that person, you know, try to be nicer, better to this, apologize to this person. And if you are concerned with a bunch of employees getting along and what should you do about, how should you intervene? You know, it's really profound and difficult. You just have to listen. I mean, dreams are inherently unpredictable and spontaneous, but you can rest assured that if that is a really, you know, sincere, difficult problem for you, and you've been devoting thought, you've been pulling your hair out about it, then they will speak up, but you have to listen. Write them down. And I'm going to say the same thing over and over. Just like you write them down, try to fathom them, get together with your other employees and talk about them, and things will, they absolutely will help. in a spontaneous, unpredictable way, but they will help. You can't really doing affirmations and so forth helps a lot. But yeah, you can do affirmations, you can do auto-suggestion, all these things to help program yourself, behave better and be nicer. But by doing that, you're asking the dream to help you out. So when you do those things, you do pray, you do affirmations, the dreams will respond in an unpredictable, spontaneous way. You have to listen and tune into them. Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of situation more than anything else in my experience.
Because it's sincere and I think emotional. You feel the intensity of it. And would the dream, let's say I have three people that report to me and there's animosity within my team. You're saying, so if I'm understanding it, you're saying that the dreams can guide me how to deal with each of the three individuals separately as perhaps as well as within a team environment. Yes?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, if you listen, you know, use your intuition, your spontaneous judgment, and just hold the symbols in front of you, puzzle over them with all your might, and just kind of feel into it. And just having been in this dialogue with this whole situation for like the last 2 weeks or something, you will be far more likely to come up with a spontaneous positive solution. I mean, again, just by talking about, you know, in the way of putting them, just, you know, putting everybody at ease in the meeting, just talk about your dreams, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the person in the superior position, it's almost like you're interviewing your employee. Tell me about your dream, you know, and then you can tell them about your dream and things will unwind and relax in very unpredictable and spontaneous ways. You know how in interviews these days, the interviews are notorious for asking these or saying these completely unexpected, bizarre things to kind of throw off the interviewee, you know. And so ask him, so what did you dream about last night? What's going on? I'm asking this just to kind of relax. And if you do that, then you'll start getting intuitions and hints about each person and what to do, how to handle it. Oh, yeah. It's real, real useful.
And, you know, I'm giggling to myself here because I like the way you presented that by having an interview with your employees and asking them this off the wall, what they probably initially will perceive as, what is she talking about? Because I'm asking them about their dreams, right? So, you get the head tilt going like, what is she talking about? And then
you can say, hey, listen. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do about this, but this is an interview technique, okay? So just kind of go with it and then ask them, what's your dream? What are you dreaming about? You know, that's kind of a way to break the ice about the whole situation between a manager and an employee. Yeah, it really works.
I think that we are becoming more aware of our inner voice as a world, right? Like it's more commonplace to even be talking about this, right? Even in the business world, we talk about this kind of stuff. I had a meeting with a client yesterday and, you know, we were talking about, you know, sales and service. How can we better serve our customer? And really that's what we should be doing all the time. And, you know, I said, I think it goes down to people's beliefs, you know, that they feel like they're going to hurt the person or they're being too pushy if they ask a question. But if they're coming from a really helpful place, how could that ever be so, right? But see, I used the word belief in a meeting with a client and he was like, I agree. There was no weirdness using that word. Where I know in my business, if I had used that same phraseology with a client 10 years ago, they would have been like, okay, you're a kook. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I think intuitiveness is really, really important, what we're talking about.
Yeah, of course, it really depends on the industry, too. All these big, huge manufacturing, blue chip kind of industries with these guys who are making $1.5 million a year and so forth in their big offices, their big corner offices, and their old traditional patrician masculine attitudes. It can be more difficult, but in smaller business situations where there's more fluidity, a feminine element involved, up in management, it's easier. You really can make those connections.
Do you find with your clients, we're almost out of time, but I'm curious, do you find with your clients that women, men, younger, older? Is there, who's more open to this whole kind
of thing? 9 out of 10 people that I've dealt with and dreamed are women.
Really?
You know, they're all almost, everybody, 8 out of 10 people are ladies because they are more inherently open to relational, intuitive kinds of things than men are. Any spiritual teacher will tell you that. I mean, at the higher mystical levels, maybe not so, but at the beginning levels of deeper spirituality, women have it hands down, just intuitively. Women a lot more so than men. Young people, of course, are more open to this kind of thing than older people are. People in smaller, more interactive industries, people in the tech industry, creative people, advertising, art, all that sort of thing is going to be more dream intuition oriented than people in older, big manufacturing businesses where this sort of thing is needed more than anything else.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, hopefully all this sort of thing is will work its way up in into the more rigid hierarchical elements of our society.
Well, and here's the thing, David, as the, old timers start to retire that are more set in their ways, you know, it is what it is. As we age, we certainly get more set in our ways. And that's not a criticism. I know that with myself. That as the younger generations start to evolve and I'm finding that even my kids, we can talk about, intuition. We can talk about, you know, what does your gut say?
You there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Something blinked out for a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Even my kids will talk about their gut feeling or, even talk about their dreams. I had this wild dream. My one son was suffering from, he still suffers from, it's not suffering anymore because he realized where it's coming from, but the paralysis, the sleep paralysis. And it's actually a waking dream for him. Yeah. And he learned how to control it.
Paralysis.
So he's 19.
Oh, okay. Okay. Starting to grow out of them.
Yeah.
Usually that's, okay, isn't it?
Yeah, but he
actually, more often.
But he talks himself, he can actually calm himself down and bring himself out of it, which I think is really fascinating. At first he said he'd panicked and he knew he couldn't scream for us and all of that. My point is that the younger generations are just more open to that inner intuition than I think. And even people my age were starting to understand it more and conversations like you and I are having, people listening and going, kind of sounds like a cool tool. It's not invasive. It can't hurt anything. Why not try it out? Because there's only upside to it, right? It can't damage us in some way by you know, tuning into our dream. I have one last question, because we really are out of time. But when you hold and you facilitate your sessions, again, you know, Zoom and Skype are just amazing because it allows you to meet with people in China, you know, if you want. So that's kind of cool. Is it hard for people, have you found when you do the group session, is it hard for people to open up with each other?
No. I mean, of course, the one thing that psychologists have long observed, that the strangers have come together, complete strangers are very often able to communicate about personal things, more so than people who are quote unquote close to each other, because the other person knows nothing about you. You know, therefore the other person won't judge you in a way that your close friend might, that your quote unquote close friend might. Now, a true close friend won't judge you either, but so many close friends, acquaintances by normal standards, are very judgmental about each other.
Sure.
So quite often complete strangers up to a certain point will amazingly open up about each other because they don't know anything about the other person.
So there's no preconceived judgment.
Yeah. Right. And again, when we start talking about dreams, there's an automatic descent of this mythopoetic realm of a spirituality, which wasn't there before. A deeper level of communication opens up.
So
and,
cool.
Let me say, yeah, it's true. It's true.
So guys, if you're interested, because we are out of time, but if you're interested, go to Dave's website. It's www.davidlow, and that's L-O-W, and then M like Mary, S like Sam, and then PhD.com. Or you can email him at david@worldspirituality.com. No worries. I will post this on the Enlightenment of Change Web Talk Radio website so you guys can find Dave and see when his sessions are starting and all that kind of good stuff, or schedule. They could schedule a personal session with you as well, right, Dave?
Absolutely. Yeah. Through writing, Skype. Personally, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Very good. So you are accessible. And if you guys need help from me or need to ask me a question, please reach out to me at my email, my personal email at connie@whitmanassoc.com. I do respond to them personally. And also, if you go to my partner and my website, our Wisdom Decoded site, www.wisdomdecoded.com. We are still offering our free communication style assessment. Check it out. You get a little report and then you can email me and we can discuss, I put you in my petri dish and we can discuss, how maybe you could communicate even more effectively at work as well as at home. David, thank you so much for joining me again. Another amazing conversation. I love this whole dream thing. I think it's got insight that we all need to tap into, right? We have the answers within us. We just have to know how to get them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Connie, so much for having me on again.
Always a pleasure. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change and just realize that it's possible and it's always easier than we often think. Thank you again for my guest, David, for joining us. Thank you for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks, everyone. Have an inspired and a dream-filled week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.